For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. The lead organizer for last August's violent white supremacist rally in Charlottesville is suing the city for not letting him do it again. Lawmakers get ready to leave Richmond with the state's budget and Medicaid expansion still unresolved, and the state will soon require parents to strap their small children into rear-facing car seats. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, March 8th.
Support for the WMRA Daily is provided by the shops at Stonefield at Route 29 and Hydraulic Road in Charlottesville, featuring a collection of shopping, dining, and entertainment experiences with ample parking. Learn more at shopsatstonefield.com.
An organizer of last summer's violent white supremacist rally in Charlottesville is suing the city over its denial of his request to hold an anniversary event. The Daily Progress reports that Jason Kessler filed a federal lawsuit on Tuesday. He argues that his First Amendment rights were violated when the city denied his permit application. Charlottesville rejected the application in December, saying the proposed event would present a danger to public safety. Kessler was a Charlottesville resident who was the primary organizer of the August 12th Unite the Right event, which attracted neo-Nazis, Ku Klux Klan members, and descended into violence. The day ended with three people dead. As lawmakers in Richmond wrap up their work this week, there is still one looming agenda item, the budget, and that also means Medicaid expansion. Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain has the latest from the Capitol.
Republican Senator Emmett Hanger is on the conference committee that's working to reconcile the differences between the Senate and House budgets. Speaking on the Senate floor Wednesday, he says the group is ready to pull a couple of late nights to try to finish on time.
It's been actually one of the better conferences that I've been a part of in terms of the workmanship, the hours put in, and where we are with it now.
Hanger did say they have yet to agree on the most divisive issue, Medicaid expansion. Saturday is the last day of session. If the budget isn't finalized by then, lawmakers will have to deal with it when they come back in April for the veto session. In Richmond, I'm Mallory Nopain.
Parents in Virginia are about to be forced to strap their children into rear-facing child seats, Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports from the Capitol.
Is your infant in a rear-facing car seat? If not, you'll soon be breaking the law. Delegate Eileen Fillercorn, a Democrat from Fairfax County, introduced a bill that creates a $50 penalty for any driver who has a child under the age of two not in a rear-facing car seat.
If we have actually have proven data and statistics showing that this will save lives and prevent injury, then as a member of the House of Delegates, I see it as our duty to pass legislation that will help ensure the safety of all of our constituents, in this case, most importantly, the most vulnerable.
The bill did not speed through the General Assembly without opposition, though. Republican Senator Ben Chafin of Russell County says he doesn't want the nanny state to tell parents how to raise their children.
When I was a child, a rear-facing child seat was a bale of hay in the back of a pickup truck. And I can tell you, we all got along just fine riding on those bales of hay.
The bill has passed the House and the Senate, which means it's on its way to the governor's desk.
Lawmakers in Richmond are deadlocked on how to handle the tethering of dogs. Michael Pope has that story.
What happens when a dog is tethered to a leash that's too short, or it's freezing, or it's just too hot to keep a dog outside? Senator Lionel Spruill of Chesapeake says restrictions on dog tethering should be statewide.
Make it mandatory because some people don't realize it's real cold. I got to bring the dog in. They don't know this chain is too short that the dog can hurt himself or what have you.
Republican Delegate Bobby Orak of Spotsylvania disagrees. He says local governments should make the determination about whether they want to enact local ordinances on tethering.
Nowhere has any veterinary practice or other national standards said the actual act of tethering is in and of itself inhumane.
In the end, neither Spruill or Orak got what they wanted. Speaker Kirk Cox killed the bill after Orak brought a procedural challenge. Reporting from the Capitol in Richmond, I'm Michael Pope.
And finally, Virginia could soon start monitoring prescription drugs issued for pets as it battles the human opioid scourge. The Richmond Times-Dispatch reported on Tuesday that lawmakers want to expand the state's prescription monitoring system to include certain animal medications. The system already helps identify human patients who visit multiple doctors in search of painkillers. State legislation would make it easier to track pet owners who frequently seek drugs for animals that also have a high potential for human abuse. The measure passed both chambers in the General Assembly and is headed to the governor's desk. The proposal was prompted in part by a Kentucky woman accused of cutting her dog to score painkillers. Several states have similar laws, including Colorado and Maine, but it's unclear how widespread the problem is. For WMRE News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Thursday.